It's time for the Second Funniest Podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. This is episode 451. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. And with me, as always, is the changer of everyone's games, the swooner of all of our wives, the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump press circle button, Kevin.
Rewind back in time and warp zone to level 8, my friend.
I did, we were talking about it last week that my wife is playing Super Mario Brothers, and so I've been reliving my childhood with that and stuff. And one of the things, it's funny to be able to apply a 33-year-old brain to something that happened when you were 10, you know? Yeah. And one of the things that I saw, it's like, why would you want to warp to anything but level 8? Like, why?
It had you don't have
6, 7, and 8, yeah, or I think yeah, was yeah, the yeah. option, or 2, really? 5, and 6 was one of them.
There's some, well, I know early on there was like, you want to take a lower level because it had a warp to a higher level later. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you could warp to 3, but if you warp to 2 instead, it has a path to 6. It was something yeah. like that, which, you know, you had to know the way to do it.
Yeah.
But then, man, when Super Mario Brothers 3 came out, it changed my world because those Koopalings were like, it was like the world went into 3D when I was a kid because it was all, you know, pretty static colors and everything, and suddenly it looked like a cartoon, and the characters had character to them, and the world was a world, and there was a hub that you walked through, and you could see the world. It wasn't just like this like map with or not even a map, just like a pipe. There was, oh man, that game. The game changed lives. I'm kind of jealous that you're getting to relive the past.
You could come over and play anytime.
It's your family.
You have Fridays
thing.
Off. You could come all on right. over. Or you take another day off if you want
I'll
to work from
Friday.
Home.
It'll be
you
great.
You could come over and play.
What are we doing after
well,
this?
Well, if you come over Friday, you might have to fight with my wife, though.
I'll play with her.
That might, you could do that.
You go watch the kids. Oh. That's your full-time job.
Oh, my life sucks. My life sucks.
I'll bring over my Game
Don't
Boy.
Have children, kids. Don't have children.
Unless you don't want to play games.
Let's let the species end
well,
here.
While you were doing that, I've been playing a few games of my own that have been good.
Yeah?
Going back in time.
Oh, you have
I played,
been.
I played a game back in time, and I played a game in the future. Which
did
game
you play
do
Back
you...
to the Future?
Yes. Which, by the way, did you ever play that NES game?
Oh, no.
Well,
I thought you were talking about the one that's on the PSN. I played that all excited.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it
yeah,
looks
yeah.
good, and I did not find it enjoyable.
They're by the same folks that made the Strong Bad's cool game for attractive people. Same folks. That title gets you every time. That time, the title just tickles your funny bone. No, the I'll tell you about the game I played in the past, then I'll okay. tell you about the game I played in the future. The the Nintendo game, the old Back to the Future game, was yeah. terrible. Where you ran, it was like a side-scroller game. It
yeah.
wasn't very well thought out, and you had to collect clocks instead of coins, and if mm-hmm. you didn't, you faded away, just like the movie.
Yeah.
But only to be topped by I still say, is the worst licensing game ever. I mean, worse than Iron Man in terms of like license.
Really?
This game was so bad. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Now, was it so bad because that you? Because I feel like what made Iron Man so no. bad was that the potential was so great.
No, this. But see, even playing Iron Man, like if you put it on easy, like if you just wanted to experience the story, do the cutscenes and fly around in the world, which is what I wanted it for, you could put it on easy and get your money's worth out of that. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure in the NES, it was a bad game no matter what. You could not put a character in that game that would make you want to play what the point of the game was. Like, name a character. It was somebody that you love.
That you I'm trying to think
you would
of...
do anything.
What was Keanu Reeves' name in Point Break?
I mean, I'm telling you, like, if Mario... If it were Tony Hawk and he played in this game,
uh-huh.
it would not be good because the point of the game... Okay, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, what do you think you get to do in that game? What do you think?
Travel in time.
Yeah, uh-huh.
uh-huh.
That happens.
Okay. So, like, what do I? What would I assume?
What's the game mechanic? So, like, in that crappy Super or Back to the Future game, it's a side scroller that's really not well thought out.
I would imagine that that each level would start off with some kind of like, oh, we need this, and it's like they've been scattered throughout time.
Yes,
and you travel back in time to certain eras, probably eras that the movie traveled back to,
yes.
And then plus a few.
Yes.
To flesh out a level, and then you would, travel through this almost like, I would imagine it to be almost like a Zelda type, map where you kind of crawl around and you fight little guys here or there, and then you collect the item, and then either it ends there or they make you go all the way back to get back to the time machine.
You've nailed it. That's exactly it, except for the important detail. How in your mind do you collect that item?
Walk over it?
No, how do you get it? Like, what's the, in order to get that item, how do you get it?
So I would imagine I would fight through obstacles and then fight a boss at the end.
Great. That would be standard video game.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff. In this game, you jump into bushes. The maps are lined.
So it's just random?
Yeah. Though they're there, it's permanently, it's a giant map. And on every screen, say, like the border of the screen, the old 3x4 aspect ratio, and it'd be like a little maze. So there'd be like, hook L around and then around. And so there'd be bushes all the way around like a snail. And that would be one screen. And on each of the bush, there would be like six slots of places that you could jump into the bushes all around that. And so on every screen, there could be 20 different bushes that you could jump into. The point of the game was to wander around these maps, fight off enemies, and jump into the bushes in hopes that you would find the object from that time era.
Was it always in the same spot?
Always in the same spot. So once you knew it was there,
then it was
if you bought Gamer Magazine or whatever, or Nintendo Power, you could find it. But if you didn't own that magazine, if you didn't know where you were going, the point, like what they wanted you to do was jump in, and it wasn't like jump out. It was like jump. You had to like leap into it. It would take a beat, and then he would jump back. You had to press a button to jump back out. And maybe you'd be holding the object. Most of the time, you weren't. That was the
worst. Is what we went through for you younger people
exactly.
So that you could enjoy fantastic games.
And here's the thing. We played the stupid thing.
We did the guinea pig.
I played that dumb game.
And we bought it, and then we hated it, and then people grew up to make good games because they played stupid games like that.
Because they're like, you know what? This isn't as good as what it could be.
Yeah.
If we just made this a little better. You know how many hours... I don't know how many hours I spent playing Pac-Man on my Atari to the point where my eyes would flake over from not having enough water.
Ouch.
And then, like, actual pieces of my eye
would
fall out. Yeah, yeah. And my thumb would hurt because controllers were not ergonomic. Mm-hmm. So you're just sitting there holding in my other hand.
That gamer thumb you get, numb gamer.
All that. Oh. And then before that, Pong, the amount of time I spent watching little square dots move around on screen. I look back and I'm like, there's few regrets I have in my life. but I remember that. Like, there's things... I had a whole childhood. I had a full childhood. I woke up. I did things. Went to school. Met people. Had meals. Talked to people. Did things in the evening. Went to sleep. I don't remember any of that. I remember pushing that stupid little box around on a screen.
What is it about then that these games that... Because there is, like me talking about revisiting the Mario Brothers, there is this level that it's like my son watching Goonies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not of his generation, but he can find enjoyment in it. But I feel like if he picked up Bill and Ted, you know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
he would not enjoy that.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's interesting because there are things that I remember when I was 12 that you would like there were aspects when Jurassic Park, came out. And then it kind of makes you look at, or maybe a better example is that you would watch Star Wars, but then you would look at like Lost in Space. You'd be like, wow, that looks like garbage.
Yeah.
But of the time, it was better. You know what I mean? You kind of judge it. So, and then there was a time when the Sega Genesis came out and we'd go over and play Double Dribble on my friend's Nintendo and be like, this looks so bad. This is so dumb.
Yeah.
You know,
he's only 4 years old.
And I know that it's probably because of his age, but that you don't have that with my son.
Well, there are some things that are timeless, right? Or classic, rather. And I think the Mario Brothers are classic. That will always be a solid game.
They're classic. What makes them timeless is something I used to think that it was nostalgia and sentiment, but it's beyond that. There is something beyond that.
Like, the music in those games...
is awesome.
...are timeless.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing, like, you watch a Disney movie, you watch 101 Dalmatians... or Lady and the Tramp, those movies are 50 years old. You'll laugh, Like, if you don't laugh, you don't have a soul watching those movies. And they're just stupid little kids movies, but they were smart, they were fun, yeah. They were bouncy. They're classic.
They
and I think Mario Brothers
PC too, which I
exactly
enjoyed, yeah.
Very nice. Let's put a pushpin in this nostalgia conversation.
Sorry.
The game I played in the past was a little later than what you're playing. I played Cars on the PS2. Mm-hmm. I brought home my old PlayStation 2. And in my, it's funny to talk
about. Brought it home. Where was it?
It was at work. I keep it at work.
Oh, that's funny.
So I keep it there, and it's my DVD player at work. And then I have games. So people are like, what are all these games? And then I can talk about Sly Cooper or whatever, or Motor Mayhem, or that's sitting on the
Motor
shelf.
Motor Mayhem.
Jet Set Radio. That's
Mike Barbary was my name on Motor Mayhem.
Motor Mayhem.
So in my mind, I was actually talking to, I think it was Bradley about it. I was like, that game's awesome. He's like, meh, because I don't know if he's played it recently. But so I popped it in, and I knew that I was stepping back in time in terms of graphics, and I knew that it wasn't going to be like any of these re-release games that are now released in HD, right? You're like Sly, Ratchet, and Clank, these games that are getting these washovers. But the funny thing is I tried to find it for the PSP. There was a PSP version of this game, and there's a lot of PSP games that you can play on the Vita. I was like, what would be best is if I could get the Vita version, walk around and play it. Not available anywhere. Could not find it. And I should have known that there was a reason for that. So I bring it home, pop it in, and
so you'd already purchased this?
Oh, I've owned it for years. If you remember, I actually bought it when it first came out, and I thought you and I would sit down and play it because it's a racing game. And it's animation, so I thought it was great. But it has a bunch of features to it. Like, it was early on when they were trying to load up with different gameplay modes. There's like a race mode. There's not an online mode, but there's a bunch of different modes. And because it's 2006, it's like a 6-year-old game, and it's right after the film. But why I wanted to play it, why I keep playing it, is that it is a direct sequel to the original film. Ooh. As opposed to like Cars 2 being 5 years, 6 years down the road, and you know, it's a totally new adventure. This is it's like the next week after the end of the film, and they talk, you know, you gotta build up a rep on the race course, you gotta go down the racing circuit so
smart
you can do the race, and then there's like
smarter way to do licensed games,
exactly. And it's all the original cast, and like Chick is watching in the distance, watching you race and practice against Doc and stuff, and they're like, oh well, you're gonna have to face him on the track and stuff because he's been cheating and watching you practice. And it's got funny little scenes and stuff that happen between people. And but then there are these game mechanics that it's fascinating that now you just would not expect to have happen in a game. And it's only been 6 years. I mean, this is not that long. Yeah. I thought games were pretty solid, and it was a licensed game, and of course, like the Sly Cooper games. There's a lot of games from that era that stand the test of time. This is not one of them, despite the fact that it has so much going for
it. I didn't think this is how that was going to go. I was like, wait a minute, he sounds like it's making it pretty fun. Why did you make the PSP comment until you did that?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So there are things where if they wanted, I think they could re-release it, and I think at some point someone will, because the resources of having the original actors do this, like, who's the guy who played Doc? He passed.
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman. Like, that's now priceless, because you can't get Paul Newman back in the studio. And it's him. So that's great. And I think someone will eventually go back through. But there are all these, like, real serious problems within the code that you couldn't just port the game over to. For example, when you first learn the power slide, the famous move that happens in the first Cars move, you know, movie, you know, turn left to go right, that big thing. They make it very simple. The idea that he says on the screen, that shows up on the screen, is press the drive button, which you're doing the whole time, X, and then press R1 right on the trigger. So that's supposed to make you automatically go into that power slide every time. No matter whatever direction you're driving, you hit R1 and you're supposed to go in this power slide. So they have this whole course set up just to train you on that mode. And I remembered having problems with it the first time I played it, and I couldn't remember why. And I was like, well, I'm much better at games now. I'll probably just nail it. Sure enough, I get to that. I'm pressing X, and the on-screen hint happens like that. It's so fast. Yeah. It's gone. And so I did it several times so I could read. I'm like, no, it's saying press R1 and drive simultaneously, and I'm not doing this. So just on a fluke, I was like, what if I press L1? And that shirt, that's it. The on-screen hint is wrong. It should be L1, not R1. I mean, right there, that's, you can't port that over because you'd have to change the graphic in the game. You'd have to change all the instructions. Who knows how many... I don't know what point in development they said, we need to make this L1 instead of R. It was easier to play. If it were R1, that's too many buttons on this side. I understood why they did it. Why they didn't change the in-game hint, I'll have no idea. So then you finally get to the first race of the whole thing, and you go to races by earning trophies and they don't really make it super clear on how to get these little trophies to earn enough points. So you can like go talk to Mater, and then you can go tip cows, and you can just keep doing these cow tipping levels. They get progressively harder. They're kind of like puzzles with a clock, but they don't explain to you that you can back out at any point in time, or you can just keep burning through them and earn all 20 points. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do. That was the idea of an open world, I think, at the time. Like, this is open world. Just keep doing what you want to do. Same thing. Like,
because you don't know any better.
Yeah.
Welcome to a casino.
Because there's nothing that tells you. And then, except for playing with money, you're playing with your time, your life.
Time has passed.
Why? And then you can do these Luigi tire thing where you have like 3 minutes to race around the map and find all the tires that are hitting there. And if you beat that, you want to do the next one? No? Okay, back to the story. No consequence.
So there's no like bonus to doing it.
No, the bonus is that you could move forward in the story. So that's one of the ways you can earn points to advance to the next point
in the
story. So
you do need so many points to move on
right,
to the story.
But okay. it's unbalanced because there's nothing telling you that you should stop, and there's no reason to stop except for that they get progressively
more and more difficult
and you get bored. You're like,
so you're playing and you're like, I can't do this. I guess I got to go back. And it's like, congratulations.
You now can go on to the race. So, which would make no sense.
You could have done it 2 hours ago.
Yeah. Within the story of the game, there's no reason why playing as Mater, taping cows, would help you progress to the next race.
As a racer, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't actually even play as Lightning McQueen. There are some real big issues. But then you go in and you do the first race, and then your tires start to break. Like, there's a tire meter that goes down, and if you go too far without getting into a pit stop, you blow out and you pretty much lose the race, just like the film. So the trick is it tells you real fast. Again, those on-screen hints are quick. Pull in now, get your pit stop. So you pull in, and then it's a series of mini games, which is a really good idea and concept. But again, the modern gamer would know that you have to be, or the modern game developer would know you have to train your audience to develop the skills. They start you right off the top. It's like, beat the mini games to get out of the pit stop fast. First mini game is one of those button mashing matching games where it's like, take the lug nuts off, and you take them off by lug nuts off by hitting the right things in the right pattern, circle, triangle, square. Normally, those games, you start with three, maybe four. There's like seven on a row on the screen, and the clock is ticking.
Wow.
It's the first thing you do. You're like, and thank God I know the controller now. Like, triangles.
First thing you do is have a stroke.
Exactly. There's so much information happening. And that's just the first. Then it's like, now wash the windows, rack it back and forth. Now jack the tire up. Now reset the tire. Then you're fine.
Now invent fusion.
And then, exactly. And then as you run around the race, like, it was an early attempt to make a dynamic game. So it would probably be cool if you started way in the back, because then the commentators would be like, oh, who's this? Number 95's moving up to the front. Oh, making a move, number 95. Because they have to say something every 3 seconds. The commentators say something. So if you're a lap leader for an extended period of time, and if you're any good at it, you're going to be, just every 3 seconds, Lightning McQueen's leading the pack. Look at that. Lightning McQueen go. Whoa, Lightning McQueen sure is tearing it up today.
Anybody who's ever played a sports game has gotten fed up with saying the same. Ray Lewis is one of the most ferocious tacklers in the game today. Yeah, I'd sure hate to line up across that guy. And then you 5 minutes later, Ray Lewis, every time Ray Lewis makes a tackle, it's like, come on, guys, come on.
Make another trigger.
Or just don't make it, we don't have to have.
That doesn't make it dynamic.
It's not a real television, it's not a real televised game. It's okay to have dead air, because it actually makes your game better if you have more to say, but don't say the same thing
again
and again and again and again.
Sparse it out.
As jaded as it may sound, the minute Chris Collinsworth says something twice, I'm like, well, I guess I peaked.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tapped out of experience
and
on this.
I think I talked about this one after I came back from that E3 party, but I think a common thing within developers' mindset is the moment that you find the edge of the world, the moment you find the glass bowl, that you're like, oh, this doesn't go on forever, is the moment a person emotionally and mentally disengages for anything. You're like, oh, I broke it. This is stupid. I'm moving on.
Yeah, I'm just in a game. This isn't really the Super Bowl.
So when this is over, though, I probably will go play Cars some more because it's great. It's totally
and
nostalgic.
For me, when it's over, I will go to Disneyland because I won the Super Bowl.
Amazing. Now that's...
I will go to Cars Land.
I'm going to Cars Land.
That would be a funny thing that if you played a franchise mode and you won the Super Bowl, like... Honey, I gotta go. Where are you going? To Disneyland. I just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think you just wrote our first ad. We're out of here. So then the game I played in the future is Guild Wars 2 beta weekend was just this last weekend, the last beta weekend of the weekends. And I know a lot of our fans aren't into this game, but I am, so shut up and listen. I am totally stoked for this game. They released, there are 5 races that you can play as in this. And up until now, all the beta weekends that you get because you purchased the game in presale have been 3 of them. But the 2 like very different, unique races haven't been available. So up until this, you could play as the humans, these Norn that are like these giant white Nordic people. They're just humans that are big.
Like the guy we saw at Comic-Con?
Yeah, that guy. But more like Norse people. They're just people.
For those of you play at the, there's a picture on the Facebook page, unless it's shut down.
Yeah, probably.
Then it's never to be seen again. But Kevin called it the backside of Comic-Con, and it was a large, heavy, like not heavy set, but muscular dude in white powder makeup wearing a diaper.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
I think he plays the Char, and they're these big cat-like beasts. But the 2 new races that you finally had access to are the Asurans, and the Silveria. And that second one that I'm still not sure I'm pronouncing right are these, like, tree people. And they're, we didn't listen to it, but if you listen to the Guild Wars 2 podcast, they talk about how they had a lot of problems in development with it because they couldn't figure out a character that worked. It didn't seem to really gel, and it wasn't a lot of fun to play with. Boy, did they tackle that problem, because the character models themselves are like so creative and so interesting and work so well as people. So, you know, like in any good MMORPG, you get to choose every aspect of their face, right? You get to choose these things around, change their ears, change their hair. And so their hair are either like different kinds of leaves or branches with leaves coming on them. And then their ears are all these different, there's ones that are just like budding flowers, and that's what their ear is. Or a knotted off piece of wood it's great. And then the Asurans, though, I think are the absolute winners, and I think what will sell the game, they're these little cocky computer programmers, essentially. It's a community of people that do nothing but try to out-piss each other. What's that called?
Pissing match?
Pissing match each other. Just like, I'm the smartest one, I'm the best, I make the best stuff. They're all arrogant, self-important.
Video gamer lingo, I think we should call it one-upper.
Yeah, they're one-uppers.
Yeah.
But the best part is they're just these little troll-looking golem-type people that are they're goofy, and they run when they've got great animation for running. Every time you press forward to run, they lead with their head, and then their little feet try to catch up with themselves. And if you stop, they kind of like tip over. So I never play as a warrior class in these games, but to watch my little dude who talks about how smart he is and how clever he is run around with a sword that's twice his size and a shield that's as big as he is, and he's like, like, this guy is awesome. So I'm totally stoked for this game. I hope more people play it with
me. Are you most excited, like what about this that you're like, oh, I can't wait?
Well, this is the thing. I've been waiting for this game for 5 years, and earlier today I had a little bit of like,
do you know the release date?
I do. I'm not at liberty to say due to my NDA with Sony. But you can look it up.
No, I meant for Guild Wars.
I know.
He's the victim of his own bit.
Yeah, that's me. What I realized, I've had my character in Guild Wars 1 for coming on 7 years now. And that's not like a game that I created. I started playing 7 years ago.
Is there a dog years version of Guild Wars?
Yes.
So how old
40,
is your character?
49.
He's 49? It's same.
I have a dozen characters in that game.
That's how he gets the Sword of Ganthar.
I have over 800
hours. Look at my... my blue-hued bosom.
I'll dance for you for tips. Yeah. People used to do that in the game. But like, I've played with this character. Like, Karina North is a part of my world. And I think that I will continue to play.
How many times have you called your wife Karina?
Twice. It was a contestant for our daughter's name. Good thing we're having a son. she didn't go for it.
No.
No, but it'll be you don't understand, with the exception of maybe coming back to the Mario games, but this is like a character I have invested in. It started as just
can you transfer it over?
She doesn't transfer over.
She's about to die.
You would not die. She just will.
What disease will she have?
She'll become Woody
when she dies, I mean.
In Toy Story 3, she'll just sit there on the shelf and be like, "When is he going to play with me?"
No, but using me as a sexual object.
I was never a sexual object.
This might be an upgrade for her now that I'm thinking about it.
For 5 years, though, since they announced the release of this new game, or maybe for about four, there have been things you can do to unlock things in this game. So I've been working for years, literally for years, to unlock stuff in Guild Wars 2. And so all this time, all this energy, and I hope that they reward my time and care by having a model of that character in the game, because there's actual things where you build a hall of monuments in Guild Wars 1. And your character is standing there like they make a statue of your character when you achieve things. I really hope that somehow they translate that over to Guild Wars 2 so I can go into the Hall of Monuments in Guild Wars 2 and be like, there's my character.
There's
that I
Karina
spent.
North.
Yeah, the first. Because they'll be Karina North the
God
second.
God rest
for sure.
Your soul.
But to answer
you're
your...
You're going to do a Karina North Jr.? Are you, just, what's no, the, what's thing the story going to be?
They
is
promised
it going to be
us,
like she's a clone?
No, they...
Is she going to be the daughter?
She'll be a descendant. Yeah, it's 250 years later in the continuity. So it's,
why not
it's
make her a clone? That sounds fun.
It's not really
an unknowing clone.
It's not really on theme.
Huh?
It's not really on theme.
What do you mean on theme?
You know, it's always interesting, and please don't take this as an insult, but I always know when you've lost interest.
What? I haven't lost interest.
Because you start lobbing these things that you know have nothing to do with it. There are no clones in
Guild
Wars.
It's, no. This isn't lost interest. Unless I'm walking on something that you have to say about the game. I genuinely, honestly believe that it is interesting how the story connects.
And
I would think people, like, not people, I'm sorry. I would think someone like you would have that. That's what
I was
curious about.
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
You have some way of connecting, and that, I think, is interesting, and I think the listeners would be interested in that.
I'm sorry, I was so sensitive.
Because you're a very creative person, and you create things. Like, that's what we talk about with your childhood. You create whole worlds and would have toy pageants in your room and stuff like that.
That's normal.
Nope.
Kids do that.
Nope.
No, that's normal.
Nope.
Lots of people do that.
Please write in, everybody. I will create an email called toypageant@secondfunniestpodcast.com. And guess what? I don't even have to waste my time, because no one will ever send an email to that saying, I created toy pageants.
I'm not the only one.
And anyone who does is only doing it to make you not feel like you were alone,
which is
unwarranted support.
The toy pageants where I awarded every year the Christmas toy and had an award show. With the toy. Maybe that was
you. Like, you had like a who was your Billy Crystal? Was it Man at Arms?
It was me.
Manny Faces.
No, I was the host.
Oh, you were the host?
Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. Last year's toy. Last year's
you
Christmas
did one this
toy.
Year?
No, the previous year's Christmas toy was the host.
Oh.
Like Miss America. I think that's where I was getting the concept from. And
so the best actor winner of the previous year comes back as a presenter of the same award.
Exactly.
Or the opposite award.
And they would also have a vote like American Idol, a little before American Idol. They'd be like, well, I think this guy's nice because he's a
and
puppy
by
like
they
me.
Mean you mean you.
Yeah. And then I would choose.
So this is what I'm saying. That's why I want to know what happens to Karina North, since you just said we're never going to know. We're never going to know what happens to poor Karina North.
We have 2 minutes. I
nope,
have 2 minutes.
We have no more time. I'm sorry. 408-228.
Things people want to know.
No,
you
they
said
don't. No.
Toy pageants.
Well, you should have gotten it in time instead of arguing with me about what I was trying to ask you.
So in the story that the game has built, at the end of the last expansion for Guild Wars 1, mankind is kind of at odds, like the end of their race, essentially. And so they're forced into a small corner of the map, whereas before they ran the whole gambit of it. And so other races have a chance to kind of take over chunks of the map. And then there are these elder dragons that kind of reawaken and kind of upset the balance of the whole world. So the story that I've created, of course, is that Karina North... The other thing you need to know is that...
no reason for you to stop, that's,
yeah,
by the way.
Is that, yeah.
No reason for you to go, now hold on.
Hold on, there's more.
There was no, you did that like I gave you a look.
No, no, no.
Like but I did something.
No, there's, this is important.
I know it is, but it's just funny how you did it. Then you're like, no, hold on.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
Before you start judging...
There's more information that you can judge me on.
I'm not that, judging you. I'm a big fan of you.
That all of my characters are named North. All of them have the last name
So they're all
North.
A part of the North
They're
clan.
All in the same family.
Is it a family or a clan?
They're a family. I think they're all, yeah, I think they're like cousins and stuff. And
I like that the idea of you being unsure isn't coming from a standpoint of that you haven't decided.
Yeah.
Of that, I don't know. I don't talk to them a lot anymore. But like,
yeah, that's kind
that's
of
what it.
It
sounded like.
I never really thought of it. Well, now you can, all of my characters are playable at the same time. Mm-hmm. They recently had a patch where you can buy slots and you can move all of your characters to work
and
as a team.
And make them like a group.
Yeah, exactly. The same. So it's great to see all these characters that have invested hundreds of hours in playing together at the same time as a big group. I'm going to miss that in Guild Wars 2. There's not as you don't have that band of
AI people. I'm sure
AI
they'll
people.
Break created eventually.
Maybe in a further expansion they'll realize that people really. I put it every time I could give feedback. I'm like, I really enjoy playing with my team of AI people because I think they do a well balanced AI. So in Guild Wars 2, of course the Norths are so famous and so. Powerful for the events that they did in the years prior.
Are you okay?
I'm choked up.
She's not really dead. She's not really
She's gone.
Gone.
Yet.
No.
She's gone.
No, Kevin, it's just a matter of clicking on a different icon on your desktop. And
it's
she's
just right,
right
there.
There.
Except for the other
it's
one.
It's like Indian in the cupboard. You just got to turn the key and he's right back. I mean, sure, time has passed for him. He might be missing a limb. When
what
you...
would you do if the monsters from Monster Inc. came out of this closet right now?
Right now? Ooh, let's see. It's hard to say because I feel like I would be scared, yeah. But there is a cuddly aspect to them that would make me go,
oh, by the way, they don't look like CGI. They look like monsters in
so
our
like
world.
What we would imagine
yeah,
a monster.
Be like
so
a big, cute... It'd be more like a Muppet than a computer drawing.
Yeah. See, the Muppet aspect might make me cute, but I would definitely scream.
Yeah.
I would, I don't, like, here's the thing. I think it would be somewhere between screaming and defecating. I don't think I would quite, you know what I mean? Like, you ever had that moment where you crap as a self-defense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Almost
no.
Like a skunk spraying?
Never.
Never?
That's never happened.
Yeah, you haven't lived.
The Norths are very popular.
You need to fight
and now
a shark.
There are other Norths as well. I already have all of my names picked out. And what's been so great about the beta is the ability to test everything before committing to it. So I know I've been able to choose which races and which professions I'm going to do.
So which race? So the Norths have different races now?
Yeah, I haven't worked that out.
Well, I think we might be confusing people who are like me in that I just realized that when you said the Norths are famous, you were talking about the North family you created.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But you did it in such a way that made it seem like, because I was thinking the Norse people from Skyrim, too. Like,
no,
I was
no,
maybe there's like a Viking culture.
No, they are. They're the Nord. Yeah. So it's all.
The Nords, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did I call them? Norses?
You did.
Like a horse?
But mine are the Norths. And what's so funny about it is that I had Karina North and most of my Norths before the last
Who is
expansion.
The patriarch of your family, real quick?
Oh, the... Karina North is the matriarch. I don't know if there's any
but
patriarch.
But she doesn't have a male counterpart.
Probably the...
Because no male could tie her down.
No. That
she's
they're
a
all,
free roaming spirit.
She's the main, so the rest are all like they're her buddies.
Yeah,
like you know, like Punky.
Well, they're more than
her
buddies;
friends.
They're her kids, right? I mean, they're
no, they're
siblings
more like
and
they're
cousins.
More like you know, one of those shows in the '80s that was really like Rubik's Cube and Friends or something. You know, like when one character was really popular, then they make
yeah,
a bunch
they have
of
the
other.
Whole, they have the same surname. That's what my point is. They all are
yeah,
they
yeah,
named
yeah.
North.
Yeah, it's like Pound Puppies. And it's just like, there's really only one. I'm trying to think. There was a ton of this stuff that happened in the 80s of like, there was one character that was really popular, and then they make a bunch of other characters to give him a supporting cast. Buzz
but
Lightyear
they don't have the
this.
Same last name, though.
No. But this is my show. Buzz Lightyear did this when they made Star Command. Buzz Lightyear and Star
yeah,
Command.
No,
they created this whole other
Thundercats,
universe.
It's the same concept.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I get it. But my point is, like, why give them the same surname? If they're not related. Like, I thought you made a family of...
There's not like a mom and a dad. That's why they're all cousins. They're all... Because they
so
grew up in different...
All, they're all the black sheep. Yeah, they're all rogue
it'd be
rebels.
It'd be like the last name being Black Sheep or Miller or something popular like Smith or Johnson.
Yeah.
It's just a popular for the best characters.
Oh,
well,
you don't watch Game of Thrones, huh?
No.
Because they do that. They use... I think it's either Smith or... Yeah, I think it's Smith. They use Smith. is like, or no, Snow. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Snow is what they use for. They give you a generic last name.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah,
like
yeah.
about where you were or where you're from
yeah,
or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that's clever.
And that means you're a bastard. So they're a bunch of bastard misfits.
Oh, based
like
on
like the
where...
Night Guards. Yeah, I like this idea. I no, like the Norths.
No, the Norths are the good guys.
I know, but so are the Night Guards.
Oh, okay. so I'm going to be in Yak's Bend, which is the server named after my favorite outpost in Guild Wars 1 in Yak's Bend in Guild Wars 2. If you join, let me know, and we can be friends when the game comes out.
Will you allow other people to join your North clan?
Sure, anybody
like,
can
they create? Should they all create characters? What if that? What if you did that? What if we use the power of this podcast to really honestly make the North name like the common surname amongst all characters in Guild Wars?
People would really care to do. Well, what I was saying is the
yes,
last.
They would. These listeners would.
Sure, drop $60 and make your last name North. Just don't take Karina North. I don't think you can because I get it. It's I get it already because my accounts are tied. But the last expansion pack was called Eye of the North, and my that was
that's
after,
for you. They made that for you.
Yeah, after I had already made the name, but wow. They did that for other reasons because the initials for that Guild Wars Eye of the North is Gwyn, which is the name of one of their characters that they already had. It was a little. So that
little,
the acronym could be Gwyn.
Little salute to themselves.
Yeah, and then
so,
the lead character.
So what happens in the I keep distracting you. So yeah. How is it that the new Karina North, how
she's
will
a
she
granddaughter
connect?
of the famous Karina North
right.
that existed 250 years
I think
prior.
More infamous without the electricity.
Probably. And then the name is so popular that other races also took on the last name.
As North. An homage.
Yeah, but they'll all be buddies and they'll work together. And because of the, it's not like a lot of games... where you know where you create a character and the first like 1/10 of the game is different and then eventually all the stories kind of start to go into the main storyline. From what I can tell, that all the characters have their own story and their own path within it. And there are main stories that you can do, but you don't eventually like fall into the main story. And now you're always kind of on your own. Personal story path. So,
but if I choose to make the same decisions that you make, I would play the same game.
You would play
game.
The same game.
Okay.
But there's a ton of combinations. With yeah. The first thing you do, you after the races matter, and then there are like class levels. With like, are you rich, poor, middle, middle aged? No, middle class. And then there's like, who are your influences? What was this memory from your past? There's like five different variables that I'm sure will. Are different story arcs.
And the new Karina North, will she look like?
No, she'll look better because the graphics are infinitely better in this
But I'm
game.
Saying she...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She
yeah.
like... She, I can't. I want to know, the Karina, does she have blue skin? I want to say she has blue skin.
No, she has yellow.
Yellow skin?
I mean, she's peach.
She's like, she's like a regular
she's
person.
Beautiful, beautiful woman.
So this next girl she's will have skin. A yellow yeah, yeah. skin, yeah, peach yeah. skin or whatever.
I'll take pictures. I'll put it up on the old
I think
app.
You have, yeah.
That was of the old... That was yeah. of Karina North... Version 2.1.
Now, what about going opposite of your thing and making Corrin North?
Ooh,
and it's
good.
The grandson.
That's nice.
Of Karina.
Well, I had Karina North was also the name of my character in Star Wars, so I use this character a lot. She's all over the place.
Wow!
And when I did Star Trek,
she's a little virtual whore.
The best in Star Trek the oh I forgot to talk about Star Trek Blu-ray. That's all right. Next year, in Star Trek the MMORPG, you create your characters, and I made Karina North in there. And but you get to write bios because they want you to make it more like a Star Trek. And so I said that she spends all of her time in the holodeck pretending to. play some sort of MMORPG. So I alluded to my own fancy. I'm the only one that cared. But that character on the Star Trek was actually playing in the holodeck like the other
That's
characters
hilarious.
That I've created. Yeah.
So the but which is real?
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
See? That's
toy pageants at secondfunniestpodcast.com.
Nobody did it.
Tell me I'm not alone.
I'll tell you what. Instead of sending me an email, just post it on the Facebook page. That's easier if
yeah,
it's still there.
It may not be there.
It may not be there. Might have to go to myspace.com/ too bad, so sad, we don't have enough friends.
Aren't we way over time by now?
By way, do you mean 10 minutes?
Yeah, I do.
No.
Oh, okay, great.
We're 8 minutes over.
Okay, great. Well, I'm done.
Oh, that was our show. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Do not send one to toypageants@secondfunniestpodcast.com. I have not taken the time to do that. And I think that's it.
So
that's the best email address ever, though. Toy Badgets.
Why don't I make Toy Badgets at secondfunniespodcast.com, and then that could be your email.
Yes,
please. Instead
of
Kevin.
I don't even think I know how to spell Toy Pageants.
You should. You made them up. You're the Donald Trump of Toy Pageants.
They weren't called pageants. They were like the award ceremony or something.
Toy award ceremony?
It was like the toy of the year.
I have so many email addresses to create. This is going to be horrible.
Donald Trump.
We need a communications person.
Communications at secondfunniestpodcast.com.
Invader Zim at secondfunniestpodcast.com. Coffee House.
Yeah.
My newest one is on behalf of my friend Kevin Miller at secondfunniestpodcast.com. Then there's this is Justin Warsham at secondfunniestpodcast.com. And then saying, okay, bye, at secondfunniestpodcast.com.